Take your Bible, and I want you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. I just can't believe this is lesson number 25 on the subject of growth. Growth in the Christian life. And I think if we were all honest, that's, I think, one of the reasons we come to church. We want to grow. We want to succeed. We want to achieve. Tonight, lesson number 25. The title that I have placed on this lesson is this: Growing Your Ability to Control Your Strength. Growing Your Ability to Control Your Strength. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Why don't you stand with me and we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Find verse number 26 there in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26. I'm going to read out loud. It says this: For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen you, and these things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And let's pray. Father, take the truth of tonight. It's an obvious one, but maybe so obvious we miss it. I pray, God, tonight that you would use this lesson to help the people that I love. Lord, you know I want more than anything for the folks that sit under my teaching to feel like they've met, not with me, but with you. I pray somehow you could use me as a tool in your hand to help the people that you love, that I love, that we serve. Bless tonight with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please. Might we leave here better because we've come, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the title is Growing Your Ability to Control Your Strength. I have to tell you, I love preaching and teaching. I just love it. I love doing it. When I'm you might enjoy coming to church. I'm electrified by coming to church. I like the piano. Thank you, Mrs. Owens. What a wonderful job on the piano. I love to see the men out front greeting and the children playing and all of us laughing and fellowshipping. But I got to tell you, there's something inside me that wants to get it all out of the road and let's get to the teaching. Now, I know we need it all, but what I have to tell you tonight, it's going to help you. It will help you in life. It will grow you. You know, usually in a sermon, I'd tell you, because of your weakness, you won't be used of God like you could. Tonight, I'm going to tell you the exact opposite. Because of your strength, you may not be used of God like you could. You see, you take what I'd call a church troublemaker or a unity destroyer. You know, those that cause issues like that, you say that comes from weaknesses. I don't know. I think sometimes it comes from strengths. Paul writes to the Corinthian church. We just read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, he said this: For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, the word called there means they weren't called into service. They weren't used. Not many wise were used. You know, wise, that's a strength. Not many mighty, that's physically mighty. Being physically strong, that's a strength. It's an obvious. Not many noble. What's that? That's your blue blood, your high society, you know, people with papers. Me, I'm a Heinz 57. You know, I'm a back alley mutt. You know, you might be a blue blood, full blooded canine, but not me. But he said they're wise, but they weren't used, and there were mighty physically, and they weren't used, and there were noble, but they weren't used. What was the problem? Evidently, there were some strengths that hindered. Then verse 27 of the same chapter, it says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You know, it seems to me that God must use the foolish, those who are not as wise and not as physically superior, and those that are not high society, and he can't always use them, and that confounds them to a degree. And then he ends up using the weak instead. Why? Sometimes your strengths get in the road. I know that sounds philosophically odd to some of you, but you better watch your weaknesses. But might I recommend you watch some of your strengths too? Then in verse 29, it says, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God does this because these wise and physically mighty and noble would take the credit for themselves. So he just surprisingly uses the base common things to do his work. I love God and what he does, but the fact that he can take the common and use them to do an above common job is just so comforting. It's too bad he has to do it. But what happens is, I think that when we, the human race, when sometimes I just think our strengths get out of hand to where God says, I can't handle you. If I take the nobody and let them do something great, I get praise for it. But I take you and you got it all together, I don't get any praise. Because you're going to take credit for it. Just think what God could have accomplished if Donald Trump would have submitted his strengths to God. Bill Gates. What would have happened if Hillary Clinton would have submitted, gotten, you know, and I don't know if she's saved or not, I've never had a chance to ask her, but I wonder if she would have used her abilities for God. I think of some of the movie stars, of Tom Hanks. Well, just think of Albert Einstein. What would have happened if Albert Einstein would have been a Baptist preacher? What would have happened if Margaret Thatcher would have been a missionary? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How many of you know who Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? You know, we're talking about a great big tall guy that could dunk back when nobody could think about it. What would have happened if a guy like that would have become an evangelist or a missionary? Funny people, the Jerry Lewis's, the Adam Sandler's. What would have happened if they would have used their strength for God? But their strength went to their head and their pride and their flesh, and as a result of it, God said, I can't use you. So God is forced then to in turn use sometimes baby Christians, because people like that, and I hate to tell you, people like us, our strengths become unmanageable. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2, listen to this. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy of the avenger. God said, I have to use the babes to get the job done, because those of you who've been around a while, you've got a prideful edge on you. Listen to Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. I'm going to sound arrogant for a second. Of course, you say, well, you always do, preacher. But I'm going to tell you what I think probably one of my strengths could be. But here's my problem. My strength also tends to be my weakness. I work very hard in life to try to develop my personal character. And I told one of our finest ladies, we were talking recently, and I told her, I said, I didn't start doing that because I was a person of great character. I did that because my character was so weak. I thought, if you don't do something about this, you're going to be a mess. So I started to work on my character. And that would entail a lot of things. Being on time, keeping my word, being organized, having a place for everything. And there are people that would say, you've probably accomplished a little something in that area. If character was one of my strengths, and I'm not sure that it is, but if it was, it can also be one of my great weaknesses. You say, why? I'll tell you why. It can actually become my enemy. Do you know that sometimes if you seem to accomplish something in an area, you can tend to have very little patience with people that have not? You can seem to be hard to please to the point where people don't think you ever appreciate anything that you do. Well, yeah, if you're all shaking your head at me saying, yeah, preacher, I hope you're listening. But you know, when you develop a strength, if you're not careful, that strength could also create a critical way about you. I feel for people sometimes when they work with me because I want it done right. I have to be careful. Because sometimes I want it done right and I'll forget your feelings. And I'll forget maybe you didn't have some of the opportunities I had to learn how to do it right. And that can even turn into a certain amount of arrogance or pride. And you can actually damage people. And the truth of the matter is people are more important than the project. Do you know that your strength could become your weakness? Being a strong, bold leader could be a very good thing, but I'll tell you what, you take it too far, you'll have no compassion, no tenderness. Being kind could become a weakness if you're not careful. Oh, I love puppies, and I love the Pillsbury Doughboy, and I love children, and I love people, and I love the devil. You ever found someone that they were so kind, it was good God, good devil? Well, there is what could be seen as a strength that's been allowed to become a weakness. So listen to me for a little while. I want to talk about this idea. And again, I call the sermon Growing Your Ability to Control Your Strength. Here's what I think. I think the devil's real smart. And if the devil can't destroy me through my weaknesses, I'm sure he's smart enough to say, you know what? I can't get you through your weaknesses. I'll tell you what I could do. I can get you through your strength. Do you think it matters to him how he destroys you? Do it your way, do it his way. Just as long as he does it, it doesn't matter to him. So tonight, may I say to all of us, we had better watch our strengths. For instance, number one, are you too smart to serve God? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19, and I'm going to read a couple of verses to you here. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Now, do you understand? God here said, some wise things or wise people, I want to put them in their place. God wanted it, and in that verse, if God were speaking to me or you, God wants to take your wisdom and do away with it. Bring to nothing, he said, your wisdom. Did you hear the words there? It said, where is the disputers of this world? A disputer, I did a little word study on that. That's a controversial investigator. That's what it means, a controversial investigator. Well, God is saying here, I want to do away with your wisdom. Now, remember, the point is, are you too smart to serve God? In verse 25, he said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Hey, God's foolishness is wiser than your brilliance. And God's weakness is stronger than your strongest strength. Folks, Do you know, are you so well educated you're too good for the old time religion? I have to pick up my ink pen. Do you know that there are people that go out and get themselves an education and they become too good for the old time religion? I tell you all, I know in our area there are some very highly educated, successful people. Do you know something? Some of them will never come to an old time religion church. The simple faith is beneath them. Is soul winning barbaric and beneath you? Are you so impressed with your education, you spend most of your time criticizing what we do instead of laboring with us? Are you too smart to be a bus worker? Has your strength actually become your weakness? You know, I know some brilliant people that will never be used of God. You say, why? They think they're too smart. Be careful, all of us. You could become so smart you won't listen to anyone, which actually means that your brilliance has become your enemy. It's become your weakness. You won't live by faith. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if you don't understand it, you're not going to obey it. Can I tell you all something? You're never going to understand all the Bible, and you're supposed to obey the parts that you don't even understand. Well, I don't see it that way. You don't have to see it any way but God's way. And for some people, mentally, they're not about to give in to that. Be careful that you don't. And folks, I'm your pastor, and I'm your friend, and I'm not trying to exalt me, but I would like to magnify the office of pastor. God uses the pastor to teach you things that you don't know. Which means then he's going to tell you things that you need to change. Probably a good idea to take it personally. And I don't mean take it out on me. I'm just a delivery boy. But you understand, if you're not careful, we can get too big for our own spiritual britches. Like you men. So listen, are you too smart to serve God? Be careful. Your strength could become your weakness. I will compliment a man that I love very dearly. My college president, Dr. Wendell Evans, was a genius. What a great man. But anybody here that ever got around that man or watched him teach or preach, he had a homespun, down-to-earth humility that was incredible. It's hard to find someone that is brilliant and practical, usable, and humble all at the same time. You know what? I tell you something. I'd rather be dumb and usable than smart and worthless. So, first question, I'm saying to all of us, our strengths, we got to be careful with them. Because our strengths could backfire on us. Secondly, not only are you too smart, are you too strong? Are you too strong to be used of God? Are you too strong to serve God? I'll read again to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10. It says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities. When I'm weak, and why? Why would Paul say such an odd thing? It's because Paul said, when I'm weak, I need him, which actually then, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong, because I'm not dependent on my strength. I'm dependent on his strength, and that's what real strength is. Let me warn everybody here that's ever gone through any leadership training. If you've had leadership training, maybe you've been in the military, or maybe you've managed in business, or you've been successful in corporate America, or maybe you're just, to some degree, a self-made strong leader. Be careful. Because that leadership, if misused, will limit you being used of God. Are you too strong to follow Brother Elswick in the bus ministry? Are you too strong to follow Brother Steed in the King's Kids ministry? Are you too strong to follow Brother Edwards in the music ministry? Are you too strong to follow Brother Nofsinger in the with the ushers, or Brother Young in the area of our finances, or children's church. You know, I've met people that you can't trust them to be followers, because they're just so strong all the time with everybody all the time that they can't follow. You want to know real balance? Balance is when you can step up and lead when you're called upon, and then when it's your time to follow, you're a humble servant and nobody would ever know you had any leadership skill at all. You could do both. To me, the purest form of leadership includes fellowship, and really the purest form of fellowship includes leadership. Someone said everything rises and falls on leadership. Someone else said everything rises and falls on fellowship. I happen to believe both are true. I think it's a unique blend of both. Hey, don't be so impressed with your training. Yeah, I think I've met people that they're so impressed with their leadership capabilities that they're not going to really do anything down at the church because they're saving it for the big task that God has for them. Well, so you know, you'll be saving it for a long time around here. That's just not impressive to me. You always speak your piece, but it hurts more than it helps. Well, let me tell you what I think about it. You know, there are sometimes I don't tell people what I think about it. I say, why? Because it might not do any good. Matter of fact, it might even hurt. You might think in some cases that this strength is admirable, but if you might not be realizing your strength has become your weakness and you're hurting yourself with it. I believe that when leadership becomes so strong that it no longer practices fellowship, it has become weakness. And let me say it again. When leadership becomes so strong that it no longer practices fellowship, it becomes weakness. Can I tell you something? I want as pastor, and not for my own sake, but as your pastor, I'd like to be a good leader. But I'll tell you something. If I am ever so concerned that I am getting to be out in front and leading that I leave the fellowship of the Word of God, that I have become a weak leader. I'm to submit to the Holy Spirit of God. I am to follow. I'm to follow the Word of God. I am to follow the Spirit of God. I'm to follow what God wants me to follow. And if I'm so caught up in I'm the husband, or I'm the pastor, or I'm the leader, if I'm so caught up in all that, that I miss that I'm the follower of the Holy Spirit, and I'm the follower of the Bible, and I'm to be practicing the fruits of the Spirit, I've lost it. I've missed it. My strength has become my weakness, and I am going to self-destruct. I'm not fulfilling the purpose for which that leadership was given to me in the first place. So, I say, first of all, are you too smart to serve God? Are you too strong to serve God? Hey, let me give you another thought. Are you too well trained to serve God, or to be useful, or to be productive for God? Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 5, it says, wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away, and their mighty ones are beaten down and fled apace. Now, you know that the better trained we are, the greater the asset we could be. But let me tell you something. Every asset has an equal liability. So you're well trained, but nothing at the church meets your standard. I've watched people that are very well trained, and they look at everything and say, it doesn't meet my standard, therefore I will not participate. You know, participation is something that you're supposed to give because you are so well trained. You ever met somebody that it's my way or the highway? If it's not going to be done my way, I'm not going to participate. I want it all the way I want it, or it's not good enough. Well, where's growth in the Christian life? A man started a Bible college. I will not mention his name. Some of you have heard an illustration of this sort. He started a Bible college, and this Bible college is historic. You'd all know the name of the school if I told you the name of the school. When he originally started the Bible college, this was his thought. He said, I'm going to go around the nation and I'm going to find the very best, the professionals from different areas of study, and I'm going to hire them to teach in my Bible college. And he did. And to be very honest with you, all the professionals took over his college, and not a one of them would do what he wanted them to do. They all wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they took over their departments. And when he was old enough, they virtually railroaded him out. He was a preacher that started the thing. And then a young man wanted to start a Bible college. And that older man said, don't hire the best around the nation. Hire humble servants of God that will listen so that you can train them on how to do it right. It is very hard to control the well-trained if it's gone to their head. When my dad, he drove an 18-wheeler, and he said, I often was given the responsibility to train drivers. He said, I could not stand training the guy who didn't have a license who said to me, I already know what I'm doing. He said, give me the greenhorn. Give me the guy that's afraid of the truck to a degree that will listen to everything I say. He said, there's nothing like trying to teach someone to back that 18-wheeler into that dock who doesn't need my help, who's not going to listen to what I say, who won't use his mirrors right. He said, I love training the guy who was a humble servant that said, mold me, teach me. Folks, don't be so well trained that you're useless. Yeah, let me tell you, and let me warn you. You say, I came from a bigger church than this. Well, whoopie doo. You know, I don't think you're doing it right. Well, maybe not, but we're doing the best we know how. But the truth is, if you're not careful and you're very well trained, shouldn't that become an asset instead of be a liability? Do you think that you were well trained and then assigned the one to critique everything all the time? Sorry. Be careful. You went to Bible college or you went to college and you've been trained to succeed. Well, let me be snotty for a second. If you're so hot, what have you done for God? Could you write me a list of all your major accomplishments for God? I'd love to see the list. Let me see the massive list of people that you've won to Christ, brought down the aisle. They made public their salvation, got baptized, and now they're on the mission field. Or they're preachers. What did you build for God? Now, you want to be careful. We get trained, but if we're not careful, that training goes to our head and you think the training was the purpose. Purpose was not just to train you. It was for you to become productive and successful in the Christian life. Are you so well trained that you're unmanageable? Are you eccentric? Are you out of control in your mind and you can't even recognize it? You know so much about everything, you could talk about it all day long. But, you know, talk's cheap. Talk is cheap. Be careful. I think we can be well-trained and almost become an enemy to ourselves to where we lose our humility and we lose our usefulness. Let me tell you something. If you study music and you know it well, can I recommend that you keep an element of humility so you're usable and that you do not just become everyone's critic and you lift yourself up onto a pedestal as if you are the final product? Because you're not. None of us are. I've been in the ministry. I started preaching when I was 16. Won't be long, I will have preached 37,000 sermons. The other day, I had a book out studying. I wasn't studying for a sermon. I was studying the right way to preach and teach. Because I've preached or taught 37,000 sermons, but you know what? I'd still like to figure some of this out. I'd still like to learn the right way to do it. Folks, be careful because your strength could develop into your enemy. And you see how slick the devil is? You're busy keeping an eye on your weakness. You say, I got this weakness over here. I got this weakness over here. I got this weakness. I'm going to keep an eye on that. And while the devil has you watching your weakness, your strength is destroying you from the backside. And it doesn't matter to him how he does it. Don't be too smart to be used of God. Don't be too strong to be used of God. Don't be too well trained to be used of God. Hey, don't be too clean to be used of God. Isaiah 64:6 says that we are all as an unclean thing. and all of our righteousnesses as filthy rags. Are you so good you're really good at noticing how dirty everybody else is? You can't work with anyone because of how good you are and how good they're not. Matthew chapter 7, read a verse to you, help you. It says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye." Be careful. Sometimes you get around the Bible enough, and hey, you know what? You start developing some things in your life. You start developing some standards, and you get some separation to you. Be careful that that doesn't make you unusable. Do you know in the church, we're to be growing people? I want people to come to our church that don't know how to behave. Now, we're going to make them behave. But if everybody that, did you know that if everybody that comes to the church is well-behaved, well-dressed, and they got it all together, you're not reaching new people? That means we got to take the chance. Now, I'm for separation more than most of you have any idea. You've not even caught on yet. I'm for separation and clean living. But not at the expense of trashing all the new baby Christians. I want to feed the separated people that know how to live right and clean. I want them to grow. But at the same time, I need to take that new convert that just got saved last Sunday, and we've got to nurture and help and grow them. Hey, just be careful that you don't become such a goody two-shoes that you know what's wrong with everybody else. You don't notice anything wrong with you. You just feel superior because you're more separated than everybody else and you're more clean than everybody else. There's one person you forgot to compare yourself to, and that was Jesus. And suddenly, you're a dirtball just like the rest of us. In your attempt to be separated, you've gone as far as separating virtually from God's work because you're too good to be associated with some. Nobody's clean enough for you. Don't let that happen to you. Now, I believe in living clean. And I want you to be clean and pure. But I just have to remind you, all God has to use are a bunch of sinners. Let me give you one more point, and then a couple more points, and then we'll be done. Be careful that you don't become too spiritual to be used of God. You ever watch someone that's virtually spiritually arrogant? Galatians 6:3 says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." You study the Bible all the time. You read it and read it and read it. Thank God for it. But what are you doing with what you study? So I spend hours a day in my Bible. The people that I've watched that spend hours in their day in the Bible and then obey it end up building something for God. They're getting people saved right and left, seeing revival in their life, turning something upside down for God. They're building something. I don't think I've ever seen anybody that is obeying what they're reading that just sat there and spin their tires spiritually. We call someone that's a computer or a technology person that's deep into it, we call them a geek. You know what I call people that study the Bible all the time? I call them spiritual geeks. I think they're spiritual geeks. They read their Bible all the time. They say they pray all the time. They know everything that they're for. They're for the Ten Commandments and Bible and prayer in the public school and church growth. And you know everything that you're against. Abortion and cloning and socialism. But what are you doing about it? You don't win anybody to Christ. You don't bring any visitors to church. You're not changing anybody's life. Nobody could point to you and say, "That man changed my life. That woman, she has helped me." You'd never build a Sunday school class or never build a bus route. Are you just a spiritual geek? You just play with the mechanism of the Bible all the time? The Bible is to be lived, not just learned. So you say, "Preacher, what in the world do I do?" I tell you what you do. Don't be so impressed with yourself. Stop justifying your lack of spiritual involvement using your strength as an excuse. God's not impressed and nobody else will be. Realize your strength could actually become your weakness. let's be careful. Can you see how the devil could be very divisive with this thing? While I'm busy watching my weakness, my strength has tricked me. And now I'm being hurt by my strength and don't even realize what's happening. So consistently control your strength. On purpose, keep your strength in check. If you say, preacher, I've got a pretty high IQ, I'm pretty well educated, keep that in check. Don't let that get out of control. Preacher, I've had a lot of leadership training. Okay, I'm glad. But don't let it destroy you. Don't let it stop you from... Don't let that become a liability when the intent was it be an asset. You say, I've had some great training. Fantastic. Don't let that training mess you up. I've lived my life in a very pure way. Well, don't let that purity develop into criticism and arrogance. All I'm telling you is, what is your strength? You say, I'm a very kind person. I'm glad. There are going to be times when you're going to have to say to people at work, no. You say, I'm a strong, tough leader. Well, there are going to be times when you're going to need to say, I'm sorry. Your strength could keep you from being what you need to be. Whether it be weakness, whether it be kindness, or whether it be boldness, either one of those, not kept in check, will ruin you. In a second, I'm going to read three or four verses and we're going to be done. Can I tell you what a church, what we all ought to be careful of? We need to be careful. Hey, we're experiencing revival. Boy, we're watching people get saved and our church grow. And we watch it virtually weekly. We're watching the growth. Can I tell you all something? Thank God we're all doing what we can do, but we need to make sure that we don't get arrogant about a revival, because the truth of the matter is God's the one that's doing it. If we're not careful, we could develop an attitude and say, well, we're strong, and look at what we're doing. we're doing. We just happen to get to be here while he does it. Please keep that in mind. And I have watched... overnight, that revival spirit taken away. I have watched the Holy Spirit retracted. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit walked out the door. You don't want that. You don't want that. Boy, the evil and chaos that men pursues is just devastating. So, even our revival that we're experiencing, we want to stay humble and keep our eye on God and say, Lord, this is great. I people ask me all the time, how's it going? And we were at Elizabeth graduation the other day, and the preacher said, how's it going down there? I said, preacher, just pray for me that we don't mess it up. Let me give you some verses. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. What's your strength? Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Boy, watch out for that pride and arrogancy. Proverbs 11:12. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction. Watch your strength. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, before honor is humility. I said this at the beginning. So often I'll come and I'll preach a sermon and I'll say, you better watch your weakness, it'll keep you from being used of God. Tonight, I just want to tell you, the devil comes through the back door. And while we're busy guarding our weakness, he's working our strengths. And he'll say, gotcha. Gotcha. Some of you, you need the light bulb to come on and say, you know what? I just seen my strength can be detrimental. Let's be careful not to let our strengths do what our weaknesses could not do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We will have a time of altar call. If you'd like to take a mental stroll through your potential and glance at your strengths. May I recommend, it won't take you long to figure some of them out because you already know your strengths. We're quick to know our strengths. We're slow to know our weaknesses. But it might be a good idea for you to glance and say, what is my strength? And then to say to yourself, you know what, I better keep that right there in check. That strength, I could hurt myself, I could hurt my children, I could hurt my church, I could hurt my wife, I could hurt my husband, I could hurt my ministry, I could hurt myself with my strength. My head is bowed, my eyes are closed. Who here tonight could raise their hands to the sky and say, Lord, I've been challenged tonight. I want to be careful that not only am I cautious with my weaknesses, but I might need to keep my strength in check. Could you raise your hand to the sky and let God see it? I'm sure lots of hands up. You may put your hands down in just a second. The pianist is going to play. If you need a moment at this altar, why don't you come? You just come. And if you can't come, maybe you need to kneel right where you're at. But why don't you be careful of your strength? I don't want that to destroy you, just like I don't want your weakness to destroy you. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Don't let your strength become your enemy. Don't let your strength become your weakness. Don't let your strength sneak up on you, climb in the back door, and deteriorate what you could be while you're busy watching the front door. Boy, if you have been given a certain wisdom, training about standards, convictions, how to do it, how it ought to be done, don't let that destroy you. Don't let it cause you to sit on the sidelines. Did you know something? It doesn't matter what the standards are like with the people around you. You could still be winning souls. You could still be getting people saved. You could still be getting people baptized. You could still be changing lives. Say, well, those people, they're not living right. They're not doing right. You're so smart, you can criticize everything going around you. But let me ask, how productive are you? What somebody else is doing does not necessarily have to stop you from doing the right thing. Troublemakers, unity destroyers in a church. You say that comes from weak people. Often it comes from strong people. People's strengths that are out of control. Their training's out of control. Their leadership's out of control. Their abilities out of control. They want to control. When leadership becomes so strong that it no longer practices fellowship, it has become weakness. This is the last time through the song. Ushers, if you'll get the prayer sheets ready for me, I would appreciate it.